What's up, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of Sports Talk Buffalo. It has been far too long since I jumped on the microphone and did an episode for you guys. Even in my absence, people continue to listen, and I just want to say thank you guys for all the support. It has been absolutely tremendous and fantastic. In this upcoming episode, we're going to talk about week one of the Buffalo Bills season. It felt like it was forever away, but it has finally come and gone, and we're going to have tons of news and notes about it, so stick around and let's have some fun. Before we jump into this episode, I just wanted to take a quick time out to say thank you to everyone who listens to me and continues to listen to me on a weekly basis. Remember, if you like what you're hearing, make sure you subscribe to me on the listening platform of your choice and leave me a good thumbs up rating so that more people can find out about this podcast. Also, if you like this podcast, do not underestimate the word of mouth. Make sure you tell your friends, you tell your family to give me a listen because they might also like what they hear. You can hear me on any of the major podcasting websites, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and of course, right here on Anchor. You can follow me on Twitter at SportsTalkBuff1. That's SportsTalkBuff1 on Twitter. You can also email me at SportsTalkBuffalo@yahoo.com. Once again, thank you for listening. Now let's get on with the rest of the episode. What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? I am so glad to be back on the microphone recording episode number 68 of Sports Talk Buffalo for all of you. With all the craziness going on in the world, I felt like I needed to take a little bit of time for myself, step away and collect myself, and really prepare for the upcoming NFL season. Before we go on with the episode, I just want to talk a little bit about my feelings about what's going on, and after that, it will be nothing but football. I just want to say, before we go any further, I think that the NFL players and the NFL Players Association and the NFL itself is absolutely and 100% fucking disgusting for putting criminals' names on the back of their helmets. It is absolutely and 100% morally reprehensible, and I do not support that whatsoever. So now that that's out of the way, let's go ahead and start talking about the Buffalo Bills week one against the New York Jets. We're going to start off by talking about the Bills' 27-17 win. The pros of week number one was the Buffalo Bills came out and they looked very, very good. The defense came out and was very dominant, especially in the first half. They came out, forced several three and outs. They looked every bit as strong starting out this year as they did last year. And that is a huge, huge thing for the Buffalo Bills. We all really believed that they would come out and be a very strong unit. And it was a very positive thing to see them come out ready to go, especially with no preseason. They were able to come out and really dominate the New York Jets offense. Now, it is the New York Jets offense, and that is something that is an absolute dumpster fire, if you ask me. I think the New York Jets are completely and utterly terrible this year, and I think the Buffalo Bills did what everyone expected them to do, although it wasn't exactly how we expected them to do it. Moving on to Josh Allen. Josh Allen in this game, we all hoped that he would take the next step forward. And without jumping too far ahead of ourselves here, as it is only week one and it is only the New York Jets, Josh Allen looked very, very good in his first game of the 2020 NFL season. He showed very good pocket presence, and he did what everyone said that he couldn't do. He was very, very accurate for most of this game, completing 72% of his passes. He was 33 of 46 for 312 yards, which is the first time since Tyrod Taylor did it. It took him overtime to do it in 2016. He had two touchdowns and no interceptions. Josh Allen also led the Buffalo Bills in carries and yards with 14 carries and 57 yards rushing and one touchdown. However, he did have two fumbles in this game. We will talk a little bit more about that later. Josh Allen came out and he looked completely and 100% in control for the entire game. Aside from those two fumbles, Josh Allen looked every bit of a franchise quarterback that we thought that he could be and showed flashes of last year. Now, if he can play at this level all season long, the Buffalo Bills are a 12-win team, mark my words. But if Josh Allen falls back just a little bit, I realistically think this team falls somewhere in the 10 to maybe 11 win range. I did a couple of predictions on earlier episodes, and that is right around where I had the Buffalo Bills at, probably the 10 to 11 win range. I had the Bills, I think, 11-5 for both of my predictions. I went over before the draft and after the draft and did both predictions based on, you know, the players that were picked up and signed in free agency and things like that. You know, we'll probably do another one coming up soon. Me and my buddy Mark, I'm sure, will love to jump on the podcast with me again and do another Buffalo Bills prediction for you guys. Those are always a ton of fun. Something else that we're going to keep talking about Josh Allen here. On both of Josh Allen's touchdowns, this is what I talked about when I talk about him showing growth. Not only was his pocket presence there, he did still scramble around and make some plays. On both of his touchdown passes, it showed a lot of growth for Josh Allen. Now, on the first touchdown pass to Zach Moss, he stood in the pocket tall for as long as he possibly could, had very good protection. Nothing was open at all. Instead of him trying to force the ball into the end zone or trying to run it in himself, he simply rolls to the right, and the threat of him running causes both of the Jets linebackers to run up towards him, which lets Zach Moss slide back into the end zone into an open area where Josh Allen was able to find him for six. On the John Brown touchdown, if you watch this play, Josh Allen audibles, it appears multiple times, to John Brown, audibles into a screen pass, gets the ball out of his hands quickly. It was a little bit off target, but John Brown was a good enough pass for John Brown to be able to catch it and take it 17 yards into the end zone, as Josh Allen recognized that there was a big mismatch in the defense on this play, audibles into a fantastic play to beat the Jets defense, and it ends up in the end zone for six. Moving along to Stephon Diggs. Everyone was talking about it when the Buffalo Bills made this trade for Stephon Diggs. Some people said the Buffalo Bills got fleeced. Most people believed it was a fantastic deal for the Buffalo Bills. I, at first, did not like this deal. I was not a huge fan of it. But as time went on, I really started to like the deal for Stephon Diggs. And if he keeps playing like this, I don't foresee a problem at all in the locker room. He caught all eight of his targets for 86 yards. He did not score a touchdown in this game, but I don't think that that made him unhappy. He was a very busy person in this game, and he looked very good doing it. He made several first down or chain moving catches during this game, and he was a very important factor. Now, I don't recall the Bills taking any really big deep shots downfield. There was a seam route to Cole Beasley and a couple of back shoulder throws, but as far as a lot of over the top passes in this game, the Buffalo Bills didn't really have any of that. I think simply the threat of John Brown and Stephon Diggs going deep really backs the defense off a little bit so that Josh Allen can get the underneath and medium range throws into his guys, which are both things that he excels at quite a bit. Also, the other Buffalo Bills receivers, John Brown caught seven passes for 70 yards and a touchdown. Cole Beasley, I believe, caught five or six for 58. I think he caught five for 58 yards. And overall, I thought Josh Allen controlled the offense very well. He spread the ball around quite a bit, completed it to eight different receivers, keeping everyone happy. It was absolutely a fantastic game for Josh Allen overall, and if he plays like this, the Bills are going to be a problem for everyone in the NFL, especially in the AFC. They will be one of the top three teams in the AFC. Now, the Buffalo Bills offense overall controlled the game. That was a huge, huge thing for the Bills in this game. They dominated what appeared to be from start to finish. The score doesn't really reflect that, but we'll get into that in a second. The Bills offense had the ball for over 40 minutes of game time in this game, an absolutely unbelievable amount. They more than doubled the New York Jets' time of possession, and that was a huge thing. If the Bills can keep dominating time of possession, they are going to be a problem for a lot of teams in the NFL. Going back to the Buffalo Bills defense, they played an absolutely stellar game for most of this game. They were very, very dominant, as I said, causing several QB pressures. And Mario Addison coming into the Buffalo Bills, making an immediate impact, gets a sack in his very first game. People are a guy that everyone thought should be cut in Trent Murphy. He also makes an impact in this game. He gets a sack. And then linebacker Terrell Dodson, he comes up with a sack also for the Buffalo Bills. Again, the Bills had three sacks, lots of QB pressures, and really kept Sam Darnold off balance for a majority of this game. Now, passing through the pros, obviously the Bills win. That's the only thing that matters. But we're going to go ahead and talk about the cons of this game and things the Bills need to clean up if they're going to compete and be one of the top teams in the AFC. Now, Josh Allen, as we talked about earlier, had a very good overall game and showed quite a bit of growth this offseason, even though he wasn't afforded the benefit of preseason games to continue his growth. He had multiple plays in this game, including two of the bad turnovers. Now, I'll talk about the turnovers, the first of the fumbles. Three straight quarterback runs. I absolutely hated those three calls. The first one is fine, but after that, you got to stop running with your quarterback, especially down in the red zone, especially a quarterback in his first 2 years that has shown a propensity to fumble the ball more often. Something else in this game for the Buffalo Bills, or for Josh Allen, was he had two misses in this game of wide open receivers in the back of the end zone. Both of them were him rolling to his left, not turning his hips, not squaring his shoulders, using all arm and floating the ball over his receivers. First one, he missed Dawson Knox in the back corner of the end zone, and the second one, he missed John Brown in the back of the end zone, and they weren't even close to being catchable balls. That is something that if the Bills play a good team and not an absolute and utter fucking dumpster fire that is the New York Jets, they're going to have to clean up. Josh Allen is going to have to make at least one of those throws in order for the Bills to be really, really competitive in the AFC and even possibly surpass Kansas City or Baltimore. Josh Allen has to be better on throws like that, and he knows it. The fans know it. Everybody knows he has to hit those passes, and he cannot turn the ball over in the red zone like he did in this game. Moving on to Brian Daboll, the offensive coordinator for the Buffalo Bills. I thought, for the most part, he had a really strong game play calling. You know, I really liked a lot of his play calls, except for the fact that he called far too many QB runs in this game. Too much read option, too much putting the ball in your franchise quarterback's hands. As I said, he had 14 carries Josh Allen, with a combined 18 carries for Moss and Singletary. Now, obviously, Josh Allen had 14 carries because Moss and Singletary were not as effective as Josh Allen. And that moves me on to my next point, is that the Bills need far more out of their run game if they are to compete. They had just 18 combined carries for 41 yards combined. That is just 2.27 yards per carry combined out of both Moss and Singletary. That is not going to get it done. The Bills are going to need far, far more than that from both of their running backs if they're going to take this team to the next level and really be, instead of just playoff contenders, but Super Bowl contenders. Something else I talked about in a previous episode, it was actually the last episode I did a camp battle between Cody Bass and Stephen Hauschka, And Cody Bass, to my surprise, actually ended up beating out Steven Hauschka. Hauschka had a very bad training camp, missing multiple kicks. And Cody Bass was seemingly Mr. Automatic. But as we've seen in this, the swirling winds of Buffalo pose a big problem, especially for a rookie kicker that wasn't all that accurate in college. That's why it surprised me that he won the kicking job out of camp, beating out Hauschka. Is the fact that he had 2 years out of his 3 years kicking in college at the FCS level that he was under 80%. 2 out of 3 years, he was under 80% kicking. The 1 year, his sophomore year, I believe he was over 90%. But the other 2 years, under 80% kicking, that is just not going to be good enough at all in the NFL, especially when Hauschka was not that good last year and was still over 82% kicks for the Buffalo Bills. Cody Bass kicked just 2 of 4 field goals, and the one field goal, it looked like it was good, but you know it was called no good. But still, these are kicks that you have to make in order to. If this was a closer game, these kicks could really, really hurt the Buffalo Bills. And the thing that I noticed that I am sure other fans noticed too, every one of his kicks was to the right. Every single one. I don't know if he's not turning his hips. I don't know what he's doing, but he's keeping his hips far too close and pushing the ball. And when he's pushing the ball, it's going to the right. Now, before the season started, I said I didn't like him because he had accuracy issues, and he kicked the ball, but he over-rotated his hips and would hook the ball to the left. Now, he has seemed to correct that problem, but he has seemed to over-correct that problem, and now he's not rotating his hips enough and kicking the ball far too much to the right. He missed 2 field goals. He nearly missed his other 2 field goal attempts as they sailed to the right just inside the goalpost. If they were any further out, he would have missed both of those kicks also. So I don't think he's got a whole lot of time to correct those mistakes before the Buffalo Bills either bring back Hauschka or fire him and bring in somebody else for the Buffalo Bills kicking job. Another con to this game is that the Buffalo Bills came out, they were absolutely on fire, they were crushing it, they were doing everything that they should be doing, and the score really should have been a lot more going into halftime than 21-3. The 2 fumbles really hurt the Buffalo Bills in this one, but they came out in the second half and scored just 6 points for the entire second half as compared to the Jets' 14 points. Now, again, like I stated earlier in this podcast, if the Jets weren't an absolute and utter disaster, the Buffalo Bills might have really been in trouble as the tide seemed to shift and be really on the Jets' side in this in the second half of this game. The Bills cannot afford to take their foot off the gas. I don't think they are there yet to where they can comfortably just sail through games and get these wins out against good teams. They have to keep their foot on the gas, they have to maintain intensity, and they have to really bury the teams that they should bury. One last note for the game, it is a con. It is that both stud linebackers, Tremaine Edmonds and Matt Milano, were both injured in this game in the third quarter. Tremaine Edmonds hurt his shoulder, and Matt Milano hurt his hamstring, again, both in the third quarter. Neither of these guys finished the game, and that could be a very, very big blow to the Buffalo Bills defense if either of these guys are out long-term. Right now, it is being reported that it's just a day-to-day injury for both of these guys, so hopefully they will be back in time for next game. But if they are not, it is going to be a very big blow for the Buffalo Bills defense, and we will see how deep this Buffalo Bills team really, really is. That's going to do it for this episode of Sports Talk Buffalo. You can follow me on Twitter at Sports Talk Buff1. That's Sports Talk BUFF1 on Twitter. You can email me at sportstalkbuffalo@yahoo.com or sportstalkbuffalo@gmail.com. Anytime, I will get back to your emails as quickly as I possibly can. Thank you guys for listening. Remember, thank you guys for listening. You can hear me on any of the major podcasting websites, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and of course, right here on Anchor. Once again, thank you guys for listening. Thank you for all the support, and I hope you have a fantastic week.